Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 297. My name is Evan Vasilik, and I'm here with my partners in crime, Sajid DeMello and Kale Teeter. We also have our special guest here, Matt Small, who's going to talk to us about Key Vault. So before we get started with Matt, Kale, Sajid, anything you want to hit from an announcements perspective?
Yeah, I dropped a few of them in there. The ones that were closer to me were around storage. So one of them is the Azure Files premium tier. Now has a zone redundant option for storage. And I think this is, based on the article, I think this is only available in West Europe right now, but it says it's gradually expanding out to the other regions. But it's a nice feature there for the folks who are using, you know, blob storage, but also things like Azure Files. Now has the ability to use this for the zone redundant.
Yeah, I'm sure the dependency there is the zones, right? We don't yet have zones everywhere, but they're coming.
Yeah.
The timing on this couldn't be better because right now I am in West Europe, and my customer wants to use Azure Files in their AKS cluster, and this will come nice in handy for them.
We made sure the timing landed just for you, Sajid.
I'm pretty sure Sajid's in like the government buildings right now. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, the other one I dropped in here was something actually, to Sajid's point, this one actually hit close to home to me because someone was just asking for this in the blockchain space. And I have to mention blockchain in every conversation, so that's my blockchain comment this week. But this is about user-delegated SaaS tokens are in preview for storage blobs. And so this is a new model instead of using, well, in addition to what we currently have, where we had API keys and shared access signature tokens that you could use for storage. This one allows you a different model to allow, you know, others to kind of grant those to delegate these user tokens to others. So there's a way that the security permissions get changed in this model that's much better than if you want to do something like, for instance, the use case that I was going after was someone says, I need to get some data, and this was a partner, but like I need to get some data from a customer, but I want them to give me access to a subset or a small area that they can, like in their storage infrastructure, that they can give to me temporarily or something like that. And so this seemed to fit the bill pretty good for that. We're actually exploring it right now, and so this is brand new.
So basically super granular at that point, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Kale, what's nice about this one is that it's tied to the RBAC controls that we introduced a short while ago for storage, right? So it's if I have, as part of that RBAC control, I've been given some level of access to the storage account, I can only delegate a level of access that's lower, equal to or lower than what I have. Right. You know, I can't get – the problem with the original master key approach is that, you know, you could accidentally give somebody the full access SaaS token that had access to everything. But here you're limited to at most as to what you have access to, which I think is really powerful.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, excellent. Well, cool. With that, so let's transition over to Matt. You know, Matt and I go back a long, long ways. I think he taught me some of the early stuff that I learned about troubleshooting and debugging, you know, back in the developer support days. So, Matt, why don't you introduce yourself and then tell us what you do for Microsoft?
Yeah, sure. My name is Matthew Small, and I'm an ACE at the moment, an Azure Cloud Experience or something like that. Whatever it is, it's a pretty new role. We're handling the top engineering customers for Azure, and it's a really big important thing. We get lots of our big customers coming in, and they want, you know, a guided service. They want white glove service. So what happens is they come in, they have a set number of engineers that they're talking to. They get, you know, generally the same ones every time. We try to help them out, you know, work across technologies, and that's that's where I come in. I'm helping those guys out, right? Some of the people talk directly to the customers. I'm helping out those engineers when they've got like super hard problems. I'm on the SME team, subject matter expert, and that's what I'm doing these days.
But, yeah, that's great. That's a fun area. You never know what's gonna kind of come across your plate at that point. When I ran into you, you were up in the Charlotte office, maybe a month or so ago. And you and I were talking, and you said you've been doing a lot with Key Vault. So we thought it'd be good to get you on and tell us about it. So like starting out, what is Key Vault, and kind of what do you see people doing with it?
Oh my gosh! Well, Key Vault's one of these. I don't even want to say really a new technology. It's been around a few years, but it's this technology where people are picking up more and more because it's a central place to keep things that need to be secure information. Just a really simple example. I don't know how far everyone goes back, but they used to keep database connection strings in a connection string and a webdoc config, and then there were techniques to take that webdoc config and you'd encrypt that encryption that database connection string, and then hopefully it would be secure. But and that's a good thing. But what we're doing is we're replacing that now, right? We want to have this one place where you, instead of keeping it there on a file on a server somewhere, we reach out to a central place and we keep it there secure that only certain people, certain service principals in the Azure AD can get to it. And that's called a secret, right? Key Vault is just this place where we're going to keep secrets. We keep encryption keys. We keep certificates. So there's like at least one more thing that it does, but we're not going to get too far down deep into it because what you really want to know are those three things.
So this is, let me just make sure I kind of understand the context. So that, in the development world, you at some point, Key Vault sounds like it solves that fundamental problem of I have to authenticate to get to my resource, my database. We were talking about, a SAS, URL for storage or whatever. But in order to get it, I have to have some sort of credentials to get it. Now you're in this vicious loop, right? If I can't have the credentials, then I don't necessarily have the credentials to get the credentials I need. It sounds like Key Vault's aimed at solving that problem.
It is solving that problem. And we saw the problem a number of ways. Whenever you have a secure object in your Key Vault, obviously we want to do authentication. And it's all the authentication is based on Azure Active Directory. You go to the Azure portal, you log in with your username and your password. Maybe there's MFA involved or something like that. So you click yes on your phone or you have a certificate along those lines. It uses all that same basic technology. But when we come to Key Vault, one of the great things is that when we are hosting things in the Azure environment, we have MSIs. And I'm not sure who all is familiar with MSIs, but those are called managed service identities. And we have a couple different types. But in essence, your managed service identity is an identity for your service. You have an identity for your website. You have an identity for your virtual machine. You have an identity for your SQL Server. Pretty much, I think most of the PaaS services have an identity. So we say, hey, virtual machine, call it virtual machine A. Virtual Machine A wants to get a Key Vault secret because it needs to run its own ASP.NET website or Java or Node or whatever it is. So it says, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to reach out to the Key Vault and I'm going to say, hey, Key Vault, I am Virtual Machine A. What can you give to me? I want this secret. And Key Vault says, hey, I've identified you. Here's your secret. So now I can use that secret, which is, again, my connection string or whatever, to perform my work. That's what we're doing with Key Vault. And again, we don't just keep secrets in there. I mean, you can keep any kind of data pretty much in a Key Vault. Secrets, I think, are up to like 25K. You're not keeping entire databases in there. It's not a database thing. That's what you have databases for, right? But you're keeping smaller secrets that you want to control. You can also keep certificates in there as well. We know that when we have things like, our application gateways, they are pointing at Key Vault in order to bring back that certificate so they can authenticate things. Our Azure web apps, they are going out to Key Vault to get their certificates and bind those certificates to the website. Through the Key Vault, you can also go out and buy new certificates, like from what we call our integrated providers. Or if you just happen to want to use a different provider for any kind of certificate, you can go and make a request through Key Vault, send your request request off to your certificate authority, get the certificate back, bind it all up, and bam, you've got your certificate right there in the key vault.
So wait a minute. So let me make sure I understand that one. So like historically, right, I go out, make my request for my certificate from a certificate provider, and then I get my public key, primary key, I get my CER file, all that stuff. What it sounds like you're describing is I don't even have to do that, right? I can kind of do that as an integrated fashion if that certificate's going to land in Key Vault.
Yes, you can. And again, with the integrated providers, you can. It's a one-stop shop. You come in through Key Vault. You say, I want to reach out to this certificate provider. And then I say, I want to buy it with this set of information on it. And they just give it to you, right? It lands in that Key Vault. At that point, you can start referring to that certificate from whatever website, whatever servers that you need to get that certificate for. But Key Vault even does more than this. When you have, especially when you have those integrated providers, it will do stuff like automatic renewal, right? So if your website's reaching out and says, "Hey, I want the certificate," and then your next thing you know, you're like 2 days before that certificate expires. Instead of needing to remember that, you can say, "Key Vault, email me. Let me know that this thing's about to expire, or even better, just go ahead and renew it for me. Put it on my card, right? Put it on my account." We'll just get you a new certificate, a couple of days before this thing's expired, so you have a good rollover, right? You're just moving right into it. It's just a really nice way of keeping not having to think too much about it, but you can get your notifications. It just takes care of all that good certificate stuff for you.
Hey, Matt, this is Sujit here.
Sure.
That's some great intro to Key Vault. Thank you for that. So I was just, when you said about the MSI access into Key Vault, I was just thinking, if MSI enables the entire virtual machine or entire app service to have access to Key Vault, and let's say there is a rogue application running in that VM or in that app service, does that mean that the rogue application now has access to all of Key Vault? How do we protect ourselves from those kind of scenarios?
So really interestingly, that's a great question, right? So we can go in a couple of different directions with it. One is that, Key Vault in its present state says that for an identity, you can have access to secrets, meaning all of them. You can have access to keys, all of them, or certificates, all of them, or you can have access to any one type of that object. That's something that's looking to be changed. But in order to rectify this situation, we can actually do manage user-assigned MSIs. If you're not too familiar with that, you can actually go in and create an MSI, which is very similar to the identity of the virtual machine. It's an identity that lives only in the Azure environment, but you can tell the virtual machine or the website or the SQL Server or whatever, say, I need a token for this identity, and this is the one that I want to use today. So if you have application A has its own MSI, and it reaches out to Key Vault and gets the information back as that MSI, application B, the rogue application, shouldn't be using that MSI at all if it doesn't have the right permissions. So it would have to know who this MSI is in order to get that token, in order to reach out to Key Vault. Security's not perfect, but we're working on it as well as we can to keep things secure. I hope that answers your question properly.
Yeah, no, that does address it. Yeah, I was just wondering, what are the kind of best practices just to reduce that blast radius, right? I understand what could happen, but how do we reduce the blast radius? Is it maybe having multiple Key Vaults where an application gets their own Key Vault, or do we have one Key Vault for what's the maybe some best practices around that area?
Yeah, I would definitely say that having multiple Key Vaults, maybe one per application or maybe one per environment, something like that, is a best practice. It isolates those objects in there, and it allows you finer-grained access, figuring out who needs to get into that Key Vault and who needs to access those particular secrets or objects or whatever. So that's definitely a good thing. There's also advantages on top of that, because a Key Vault has each Key Vault has its own what's the word I'm looking for? It can only access so many, make so many requests in a short amount of time. What we are seeing is that when we have some companies, they are spinning up, hundreds and thousands of servers at once. They're all accessing Key Vault. The next thing you know, they're getting throttled back because they're all hitting this one Key Vault. And, the guideline for throttling is like about 2,000 requests per 10 seconds. I don't know how that number comes up, but it that's what it is. In general, there's some other things that come into play with that. But when we see everything hitting that key vault at once, it gets throttled. So when you divide up your workload into multiple key vaults, you know, based on region, based on application, based on, you know, use, whatever that is, then you're going to find that you have a better throughput. You have better responses. You're not going to get throttled. And it doesn't cost any more to have multiple key vaults. I think every request costs just about 3 cents or 0.03 cents, something to that effect. So we're not looking at an increased cost. You may have an increased management that you have to do, but managing key vaults is pretty easy.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, so it sounds like the typical guidance is what we typically see in Azure, which is, yes, it's cloud. Yes, the scale of cloud conceptually is infinite, but it's infinite in a scale out capacity, right? Any one resource has a scale up limit, but you can always do more servers, more key vaults, more whatever to get that wider and wider and wider scale, or broader and broader scale at that point.
Right. And what's happening is it's possible when you ask very nicely that, you know, things could be scaled up if you have some sort of exceptional, you know, reason to say, hey, I need, you know, 10 times the amount for this particular key vault. But those things take time. You have to go through the hoops. You have to talk to the product team. You have to justify your existence in order to say, yes, I need this, you know, increased number of requests for my key vault. It's better to plan now. And plus you get that additional security thing where you don't have everybody in the world going to the same key vault and having access to all those same objects and pulling it back for some, you know, unknown rogue reason. But key vaults definitely it's a big deal. Its fingers are reaching into everywhere in Azure right now. When I was working on it really hard, I was told it was just one of these things that all eyes at Azure were looking at key vault, because we are always seeing now that you know, more and more services are supporting Key Vault, and where they were storing things in like their own blade before, such as a web app, you'd upload a certificate and it would sit right there. Now it's going into the Key Vault because these Key Vaults, you know, their security it's based on HSM, and HSM is a hardware security module. It's like a physical box, and it's also a feature. So what happens is there are two levels to Key Vault. One is where your keys they're called software keys, they're kept in a secure Azure database. I don't know the honest, you know, back end of it, but everything is encrypted using keys that chain up to an HSM. And these HSMs, man, there's some kind of wildly expensive security thing that creates encryption keys, unbreakable to normal humans, and then they just keep on encrypting this stuff so that, you know, someone picks it up and walks away with it. I don't even think you could get it out of there unless you knew the right stuff to get it out. You can also go for an additional layer of security where you keep your keys directly in the HSM, where once those keys get in there, they don't come back out. Now, what is the advantage to having a key that does not come out of the key vault? You can do – there's six really good encryption operations with key vault. If you wanted to encrypt something using that key, you can send off a REST request over SSL. It goes out to the key vault. The key vault says, I'm going to encrypt this message with the key that we keep in our key vault, and then it sends you back the response. You send that response off to somewhere else. You can take that that response, send it back to key vault, decrypt it. You can also what we call wrap and unwrap keys, where if you have encryption keys, you are going to encrypt the encryption keys with those things. And that's really, really useful in like the SQL Server world, how they encrypt those keys to encrypt your disk. That comes in really important there. If you wanted to sign a message, right, they have sign and verify, where if you have a text message that you want to say, hey, this is what I'm writing to you, and this is, you know, I think they put some sort of a digest message, something at the top of it says, if you want to believe me, you can just verify it, send this out to Key Vault. It will verify that digest and the message matches exactly what you originally sent to it. So no one can come in and alter the message and say, yeah, that's not really what was written here to begin with. So these are just some of the encryption operations that you can deal with in the Key Vault.
Yeah, and Evan, one thing I just wanted to mention to you, we actually, I was kind of proud of this, actually, back in the day. I mean, this was years ago, but we have elliptic curve in the key vaults for those who know the technical bits underneath, and part of that was driven by blockchain.
God, of course, of course.
Because we needed to put Ethereum keys inside of a key vault and have it do signatures for us. And I was like, hey, how can we do that? And but anyway, that's...
It kind of related to that, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, Kale. So, you know, I'm thinking of a scenario that I'm working with right now is we've got documents that are coming, you know, that the customer is, you know, receiving or sending, quite a few of them. And sometimes those documents might contain, you know, some kind of PII data or, you know, confidential information that has to be encrypted, right? Portions of that have to be encrypted. And so I was wondering about this, you know, this facility where you could have Key Vault do the encryption for you of those bits or decryption if that were required. But I'm just wondering about, like, you know, the performance angle of this. You know, think about a scenario where we're getting a lot of documents coming in or going out and all these encryption, decryption going on. How do we manage that that scale of encryption, decryption? Is that a good use case to do it in Key Vault, or should we do it, like, get the keys out and do it on the server itself?
No, because you don't get the keys out of Key Vault. That is the thing about Key Vault. You put a key in there, it doesn't come back out. It is, you can back it up and you can restore it. But even the backup and restore is not human readable. You can't use it for anything. So once the key is in the Key Vault, you use the Key Vault to perform those encrypt and decrypt operations. And that is the expected use for Key Vault. You're doing a lot of calls. I imagine as long as you have the bandwidth, that Key Vault can handle it as well. And that's what we're going. We're using a centralized cloud-based system to handle those operations for you, so you're not sitting around writing code that, you know, pulls a key out of somewhere or breaks a certificate apart and then starts encrypting and decrypting stuff with it. You're offloading this to the cloud. That's our service. That's the Key Vault service.
But it's subject to that throttling limit that you mentioned earlier, right? That's kind of where I was going. If you're going to have that whatever 2,000 requests, yeah, every 10 seconds or something like that, how do you kind of get around that problem?
Well, that was with the multiple key vaults, right? So if you were going to, and that's why we talked about it to begin with, the throttling issue is something you want to avoid by, you know, correctly segmenting, you know, your applications with your key vaults or your region with your key vaults, something along those lines. And you can, however you set it up, there's a hundred different ways to set it up, but you definitely want to align, you know, what you are doing with a key vault in the correct region, the correct place, as you would with any other service, right? You want to keep your web servers and your SQL servers for one location in one area, perhaps, and do that with any other service. So, you know, that's the way, you know, this service, runs.
Yeah, so Sajid, yeah. It sounds like, sorry, go ahead, Kale.
No, go ahead, Evan.
I was going to say, so it sounds like just like anything else, right? For scale, you have to have a partitioning mechanism, right? And then that partitioning mechanism is how you scale out.
That's what we're going to have to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it's a single application that will have multiple key vaults at that time.
Yeah.
So we had a similar one, Sajid, just to give you an example, a specific example. We had that same problem, right? So we had a ledger, right? And we wanted to store keys and have them do the thing there. But it was like, well, there might be 10,000 users using this, and we don't know how quickly they're going to use it. And so what we were doing there, this is just one model that we came up with, was, you know, as you said, spin up multiple key vaults. And then as users would authenticate on the fly, we would generate the keys. So it would round robin between all these. And then, like, when Evan comes in, it would generate a key if it was his first request. And then it would pack that into Azure AD, like the URI for which key vault he had and his key version and all that stuff. And then the next time Evan makes a request, it knows which vault to go to. But we're spreading that load across multiple as they were coming in. But
that's a nice approach. Yep. Thanks. And
oh, that's right, because you have the because eventually you're really just referencing the URI of the key. Okay, that makes sense. I see what you're saying.
Just the key ID and the key version is the other stuff we needed, right? Yep. And then the URI. Once you have that, you know which thing you're going after.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. Well, cool. Well, you know, Matt, this was awesome. Any last words on Key Vault that you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, you know what? I will say that a shout out for myself. I have a blog, right, that I write about the support things that I've seen with Key Vault, and there's a, I think there's a couple of really important items on there. One of them is about our access policies, because Key Vault does not use, or at least it does use RBAC access policies, but when we're talking about accessing objects, we go to our access policies, which is a totally different system. And I talk about the intricacies of how that system works. A lot of people are calling up, opening up support cases, saying, yes, I assigned, you know, this application to Key Vault, and I'm getting 403s, and the 403 means I don't get access, and I don't understand what in the world's going on. So I talk about that. I also talk about the difficulties and how do we download certificates properly with passwords and with making sure you have the private key and things like that. So there's some really good stuff on there, and also go through like the REST stuff. So I just want to put that. It's AZ Identity. Yes, azidentity.azurewebsites.net. And so that's I'm getting a lot of good feedback on that. So if you have questions about, you know, weird things you've seen in your Key Vault, and you're thinking about opening up a support case, I want you to go check that out first, because I think you may get your answer there.
Yeah, this will be great. So we'll get a call from Matt in a week that say, "Hey, you guys crashed my site."
I think I'm running like a basic. Yeah. You for that.
Yeah. But we'll definitely, Matt. We'll include that when we publish the podcast. We'll make sure to include that link. This was great. Thank you very much for the tips, and I'm sure the audience will appreciate it.
Sure. Glad to help out. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.